Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 40. Psalms 40 and verse 1. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Psalms 40, beginning with verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he has set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Look at verse 5 again, which will be our launching point for today's lesson. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Do you remember watching Lawrence Welk? What were two of his favorite words of accolade whenever someone had done a good job with their song or with their instruments? Wonderful, wonderful, thank you, boys. I remember hearing those words time and again as the orchestra played, or as, wasn't it the King family or the King sisters? Lennon sisters, thank you very much. Wonderful, wonderful. And I remember hearing those words and thinking, he really thinks things are good. And they were. The harmony was pitch perfect. Wonderful. Our God is wonderful, isn't he? We sing the song, wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is he. Our God, the psalmist declares, is a God who has done so many things for us that you can't count them. When was the last time you were impressed with his wonders, with the things that he has created? Did it happen to be on a tall mountain peak or on the side of a mountain looking down over the valley? Or perhaps it was a little more subdued next to a quietly, gently flowing mountain stream. Or you were surrounded by the silence of a forest. Was it the rose tint of a sunrise or a sunset or a night sky filled with the stars? He does so much, doesn't he? And has done so much. We believe that God continues to cause the sun to rise and to set, that he is the one who puts in the seasons and causes one to follow the other. He is the one that instills the instinct within the animals for them to do everything that they do. If we were to try and count the wonders of God, we wouldn't have the time, would we? Or the numbers to attach to it. Many are the wonders I've got written out on the marquee that God has done. In fact, they are numberless. Our God, creator, provider, sustainer, giver of life, and guarantee of eternity. Oh my God. What a wonder you are with all that you have done. In fact, everything that God has done is for us, is for man's benefit. It's a father blessing his children. It's a God who cares, a God who desires mankind to have a good life. This earth, I've said before, is God's nursery for mankind. Earlier in Psalms 8, we read this weeks ago. These words are penned by the psalmist in verse 4. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Have you ever been noticed by somebody that you thought was a little above your station? Perhaps you were at a place and you were just an observer, and someone that you have looked up to through the years and didn't think they really knew who you were came by. That might have been the school principal, and hopefully it wasn't him calling you to the office. I had that experience. But someone on a higher, a grander scale took notice of you. The psalmist almost has that thought in mind there in Psalms 8 and verse 4. And he says, God, I just really don't understand why you noticed me. In fact, I don't understand why you care for man in general. What is man that you are mindful of him? Well, the psalmist here in Psalms 40 and verse 5 has said that there are two things that include the concept of being unable to count them all. The first one being the wonders that God has done. The second one, well, let's read the verse again and see if you can find what the second one is. Going back to Psalms 40 and verse 5, I'll try to emphasize it just a little differently and make it stand out to you just a wee bit better. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. In actuality, I think in this verse, the psalmist has named two things that are numberless. The first being the wonders that God has performed. And look at that second one. The second one is the number of thoughts he has had about us and on our behalf. Are you a parent? You ever think of your children? Are you a grandparent? You ever think of your grandkids? Numberless are God's thoughts about his children. Now, what does it say about you when you're constantly in a frame of mind that you're thinking about those that you love? Well, that's the key, isn't it? You're thinking about those that you love. The psalmist knows that God didn't just wind up the clock. He didn't just put the world in motion and abandon it. He didn't create the proper atmosphere for us to simply live and breathe in and not care about the lives that we lived. In fact, the psalmist says, God, I know I am constantly on your mind. Many are the thoughts. If I would declare, if I would speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Do you see it? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And yet not only is God aware of me, he thinks about my welfare in ways that I don't even begin to understand, and certainly am not able to count. Too numerous are they. Why, God? That's what the psalmist is asking. Why, God? Why do you care? Because we compare ourselves with God, and we're going to do this in a couple of the psalms as we've read for this week. We read through Psalms 36 through 41 for this week. Next week, we'll pick up 42 through 49. But go with me back to 39. And he talks about himself, or mankind in general, beginning with verse 4. This is Psalms 39. Think of the comparison between man and God. God elevated man, not so much. God eternal, and what is man? Well, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. I'm going to read that line again and pause and have you ponder. Why would the psalmist want to be reminded of how transient he is? Just how little his time on earth will be. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as a hand's breadth, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath, Selah. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. God, how long have you existed? And you could stretch your arms forever. But how long do I have? And it's nothing but the width of the palm of your hand in relation. A breath? That doesn't take long. You've breathed several just with the reading of that passage. But the psalmist says, my life is but a breath. Sounds like James, doesn't it? Life is but a vapor, a mist that's here for a little while and then vanishes away. James 4 and verse 14. Do you think he was thinking of this passage in Psalms? Possibly. Why do I need to be reminded that my existence upon earth, and the Greek word that's used here for phantom, is image or almost apparition. My life here on earth in reality is but a fleeting glimpse. It's a shadow. It's something that's here and then it's gone. And you've had those happen. My glasses do that to me all the time. I'm sitting at my computer and the front window, whenever I'm doing things at the house, the front window is just right there on the peripheral vision, and things go by all the time that don't. I'll be sitting there typing, and all of a sudden something I think has gone by, and I'll look up real quick, and there's nothing in the window. Spirits? Well, I don't think so. I think that it's just a fleeting shadow of something, a reflection off of my glasses. The psalmist says, my life is like that compared to God. I am but a phantom. And in relationship to his eternity, for as long as he has lived, man is just so insignificant. Question? If I'm but a vapor or a mist, why do you care, God? I'm here today, and no, I'm not going to tell the joke, and gone tomorrow. Why does God care? Because there's more to man than just that, isn't it? Not only is my life but a vapor, like a phantom that's here for a little bit and then vanishes away. What did we read in verse 12, also still in Psalms 40? What is man full of? For evils beyond number have surrounded me, my iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed within me. Oh no, we've got something else that can't be counted. We've got the wonders of God and his thoughts about us, and then we get to the subject of man, and what have I got that is beyond counting? Like the hairs of my head, my iniquities and my sin. Do you see what the psalmist has set up for us? And it's taken several psalms, and I know I'm picking and choosing here and there, but there seemed to be a theme this week of my proper position in God's presence, and it's one that I grovel at his feet. Because he's the one who performs miracles. He's the creator. He's the provider. He's the sustainer. He's the giver of life and the security for eternity. What am I? I am worse than frail and weak and transient. I am a sinner. And I sin often. I have more sin than there are hairs on my head, the psalmist says. My iniquities are numberless. Think of the contrast between the two. I think it's intentional. God is numberless in his greatness. I am numberless in my weakness. He in his strength, me in my sin. Truly, the psalmist had it right in Psalms 8, verse 4. God, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why do you care about me? But the psalmist has already revealed in chapter 38 of Psalms, go with me there, as he talks about his sins before the presence of God. He says of them, in beginning with verse 4, "For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me." Does that sound like last week's lesson? Whenever he was lamenting, when he didn't confess his sins, that the hand of the Lord was heavy upon him, here he is suffering from that guilt. My iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. And then he describes it in ways that it's stinky. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. Say that real fast. My wounds go foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long. My loins are filled with burning and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. Is this a man at peace? No. As he examines himself, what does he see? It's not just insignificance, it's worthlessness and death. Does he understand what sin does to the soul of man? Certainly. All of those things, my flesh has no strength, there is no soundness in my body. It's like all is festering. Do you know what he's realizing? What it means to be a man without God. A man that's lost. And he's in the midst of dying as he examines himself. Because that's his station. More numerous than the hairs on my head, my wounds are incurable. It's a common theme in the Psalms. And I think inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that we can appreciate that in our songs and in our singing, we need to sing of God's glory and our own unworthiness. Because then we understand grace. If I think I am something that is deserving of what God has done, of him being mindful of me, then I will get on my arrogant high horse and I will make demands of him. And I will cease to be an obedient servant. And I will instead become a dictator, proclaiming my needs, and he'd better answer. But if I understand that I am really in the presence of the most holy and powerful God, a creature who deserves nothing but death, then I know my place. We used to have the words of a psalm that was literally taken from the Psalms, "And such a worm as I." And that offended people when the psalmist wrote it just like that. "And such a worm as I." Because they said, wait a minute, that will hurt someone's self-esteem. So what? If I don't understand my place in God's presence, God has granted me as a part of his creation to be elevated to a point that I have an eternal component, a soul that will live forever. And I am elevated above the rest of creation. But I must understand I am still a part, as was mentioned in our prayer, of God's creation. I'm not deserving of the wonders or the thoughts that he has done on my behalf. But the psalmist isn't saying that God doesn't care, is he? In fact, his thoughts toward me are numberless. He desires for me to be a part of him. When Isaiah realized his sin, in Isaiah chapter 6, we call this the call of Isaiah. He saw the Lord high and lifted up within the temple. And the train of the Lord filled the temple, and the temple was also filled with smoke. And he saw the angels, the seraphim and the cherubim, singing praises to the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And what was Isaiah's response? Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. What did Isaiah realize? That spiritually he was a leper. And what did God do? Did he say, yeah, you are? No. He had one of his angels take a coal from off the altar and bring it to Isaiah and to touch his lips and to cleanse him. God thinks about my welfare. God desires to place me in a proper relationship with him. He desires for the sin that does separate from me from him to be done away with. And so as Isaiah said, woe is me, God said, I need a missionary. I need somebody to go out and preach for me. And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. When I come to realize that my proper place is one that is separated from God because of my sin, but God's mercy and grace reaches out to me, and now in a cleansed state, he would have me be his child, his messenger. It ceases to be, woe is me, but here am I, send me. But that only comes from a heart that has repented. That only comes from a heart that is humble. That only comes from an understanding that I am totally undeserving of the love that God has shown toward me. Left to my own devices, I am foul and festering, bent over with mourning. There is no soundness, benumbed, crushed, and agitated. Let me read you Psalms 40 and verse 5, the one that we're basically working off of today. I'll read it again from the New American Standard, which is the version that I use. And then I want to read it to you from the ERV, the English Revised Version. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. The ERV says it this way. Lord, my God, you have done many amazing things. You have made great plans for us, too many to list. I could talk on and on about them because there are too many to count. Isn't that kind of neat? God, you are amazing. God, you are glorious. God, you are unprecedented. You are that which can't be compared to anything or anyone else. So why is God caring? He tells us, look now, we'll read starting with verse 6 here in Psalms 40. Listen closely, and I want you to think of two words, ritual and relationship. In fact, put two letters in between the two, ritualism versus relationship. And listen now to what the psalmist says, and I think you'll understand why God thinks about us, why he created what he did. Starting with verse 6, Psalms 40. Sacrifice and meal offerings you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Were you ever given a list of rules and regulations? Perhaps it was the first day of school and it was in the syllabus. Certainly you got that at college, where it said, and these are the things that are expected that is expected of you. You've got to show up to classes this many times. You've got to make this kind of a grade. You can't miss the test. And it went on and on. And then also in the student handbook, there were all those things. I'm sure that's changed since we went to school. But all those things that could get you expelled. I'm not sure they do that anymore. But you understood by these rules and regulations, these are your do's and your don'ts. And some were offended by that. In fact, when I was still going to school, they determined how long you could grow your hair. And there was someone who checked if your hair was too long, sent you to the barber. Those were the good old days, weren't they? But you may have viewed those regulations as being that which hemmed you in and confined you. And as long as you have a view toward a set of rules as being black and white and prevents you from doing what you really want to do, then you're never given yourself to that particular program or effort. If it's always something that is confining you, then it is never that which defines you. Do you see a difference in what the psalmist has said? Ritual, the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and relationship. The psalmist has come to the understanding, it's not that God doesn't require sacrifices, but what he's come to the understanding of, he's opened his ears to hear truly what God has desired, and because of the sacrifices, he has forgiveness. He has heard what God has said, and it's not that I have to sacrifice, but I get to be one with you, Father, by going through what you have destined to be best. And so the Jew understood that the goat upon the goat sent out of the camp, or the ram upon the altar represented atonement. I have heard it with my ears. And then he says, and I have placed it in my heart. I delight to do your will. It's not a set of rules and regulations any longer. This is that which I follow gives me life. It's ritual or relationship. Doing the same things, yes, but the heart is different within the man. So let me come back to the question. Why are the thoughts of God too numerous to count? He reveals it because God desires relationship. Like the parent thinking of their children, praying for their safety. Like the grandparent longing for the sight of their grandchildren again. So God longs for what is best and good for you and for me. And he says clearly, follow me. Follow me. And I will grant to you that which is life indeed. We'll talk about that this afternoon in this idea of following the footprints of Jesus and looking at that from a psalm that we read for this week. Years later, the prophet Micah. Turn with me to Micah chapter 6. Was basically asking this same question of God. And these words are penned, starting with verse 6. Once again, the two R's, ritual or ritualism versus relationship. Beginning with verse 6, Micah 6. With what shall I come to the Lord or bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings? With yearling calves? Does the Lord delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And then listen closely to this answer. And if you don't have this verse marked, you need to circle it or something. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Ritual versus relationship. And it points even to a greater extent of love. Because he says, it's not that these things aren't required of you, the sacrifices, they were required. But what is it that God really wants from you? All of that is in place to bring you to relationship with Him. And to do justice, to love kindness, a relationship with one another. A man can't say that he loves God whom he has not seen and hate his brother whom he has seen. He is a liar and the truth is not in him. Do you see it? Religion is relationship. First with God, then with you. And that's God's desire for me to come to an understanding. It's not a set of rules and restrictions, but an opportunity to be guided and instructed and to walk a pathway, arm in arm with you, to walk a pathway that leads to life eternal. In our last verse of our reading for this week, and we're going to sing a song to go along with this. We're back now to the book of Psalms, but look at Psalms 41. The very last verse, verse 13. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Blessed be the Lord. Turn with me to hymn number 96. Think of what we've read about the psalmist. His relationship with the Lord, his understanding of his own position in that relationship, a man of sin, and yet forgiven and called to walk with God. Hymn number 96. No soul, Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Do you hear him? Do you hear yourself? Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders that you have done and the thoughts that you have on behalf of man. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of it, it would be too numerous to count. Psalms 40 and verse 5. Blessed be our God, who loves us enough to desire what is best. Will you yield to His will, delight in His law as we stand and as we sing?